Another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word, and indeed we are grateful and thankful for Him. You know, as we look at the work of the Spirit, and we've been seeing how the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of Zoe, the life of God, has set us free from the law of sin and death, and we've seen how by the Spirit we are able to influence, we are able to control, we are able to be led by the Spirit of God. And by this leading of the Spirit of God, then we can have victory over the flesh. And the Bible tells us clearly that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. It is only the mind that is controlled by the Spirit, submitted to the Spirit, obedient to the Spirit, that is able to experience the newness of life, is able to experience the joy of salvation. You know, when David cries out, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me," he knew that absence of the Holy Spirit brought and had brought him a certain emptiness and a certain sense of inadequacy, that he knew that if he was cast out from the presence of the Lord, then he becomes naked, he becomes unable to defend himself, and he loses everything that God had worked in him and everything that God had, you know, had prepared for him. You can think about it. It's like a man who was sent by Saul to go and fight wars. You know, he knew that each and every day for him to survive, he needed God, he needed the Spirit of God. When he's running away from Saul, he needed the Spirit of God. And that's why David cries out. You can see Psalms 139. He knows, he has understood a reality of life, that where can I flee from your presence? Where can I hide? You know, if I go to the mountains, you are there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you are there. If I go even to Hades, there you will find me. There is an assurance that David had that, you see what? God is with me. God is with me in the tough times, in the points of being wounded, in the points of discouragement. The Holy Spirit has never left us alone. You know, when Jesus tells his disciples that, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you, the Spirit of truth," he's referring to the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is not a force. You know, many times we confuse him for a force, we confuse him for a wind, we confuse him for a power, we confuse him for an intangible object that we can use at our own will and whims to do whatever we want, but we don't recognize him as God. Yet he is fully God, not less than the Father, not less than Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is God that in our dispensation is living and has chosen to dwell in the hearts of the believers. You know, we always have this aspect of understanding that we say that in the Old Testament, that we see the Father at work, God the Father at work in the times of the believers. Yes, we see the Holy Spirit coming in, you know, and covering the whole creation that was void, you know, empty and void, and he was hovering. And God the Father said, God said, "Let there be light." So we see the presence of the Holy Spirit right there in the midst of everything. Before the word came, the Spirit was present. And the Bible says he was hovering over the waters, hovering over the surface of the deep. It, you know, for me, it paints for me the picture of one that swoops, one that is always near, yet waiting to be invited. It's just like if you had a guest, or rather if you are cooking and you see the children outside, they can smell the food. But all they are doing, all they are hoping is that someone who will just welcome them and tell you, come in and partake, come in and eat with me. So they will hang and not force themselves. They will wait, they will be patient until the invitation is given. When the invitation is given, then he steps in. Now, because many times we don't recognize him as a person, we find that we treat him as an object that we just need for the moment. You know, some high that we are looking for. But when he comes and he is manifested to us, know the dimensions of the Holy Spirit are unique, because there is the indwelling dimension of the Holy Spirit. That means he lives in the believer that has believed in Christ. Anyone that has come to Christ, has asked Jesus to enter into their hearts, it is the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer. And the Bible says he dwells in us forever. He does not leave us. But there is also the dimension of the Holy Spirit, which is the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit. This is where there is a tangible expression of his person, and that only comes through honor. When we honor the Holy Spirit, then he is expressed. And this is what we're looking at in John chapter 14. And if we just see that, we see that Jesus already told us that I will ask the Father. And he speaks about him drawing the relationship, showing to us the aspects that are critical for the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15, the Bible says, If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. You know, that word there, another, it means that another of the same kind. That means not different, but he himself is the same way that Jesus was with his disciples. In the dispensation when the Son was on the earth, when God was revealing himself, when God has revealed himself through the Son, he is the exact image of his person, the brightness of his glory, the radiance, the exact radiance. Everything the disciples needed to know about God was revealed through Jesus. The character of God was revealed through Jesus. You know, when people say, oh, our God is, you know, would want us to do certain things that are not right. No, but Jesus came to correct all those misconceptions. You know, the law said an eye for an eye. But Jesus said, if someone slaps you on the right, give him the left. So Jesus came to fulfill the true manifestation of and to show us the true heart of God, the character of God, the character of God in forgiveness. You know, when he's asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said, well, 77 times, 7 times. That is the manifestation of the character of God. That God is a God who is merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in love. You know, so when he says another of the same kind, it brings for us the expression that the Holy Spirit comes as Jesus was. And the reason why we will never, many believers all over the world, thousands, is because we have not understood we are in the times of the Holy Spirit. And because we're in the times of the Holy Spirit, in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, and we don't take advantage of him, then we miss out on God's already declared way that he will walk with the believers, walk with the church, is through the Holy Spirit. So when we honor the Holy Spirit, when we are quick to obey him, when we are quick to love him, when we are quick to even speak to him. You know, I think it's Benny Hinn that has written the book, Good morning, Holy Spirit. And he desired the Holy Spirit because he says that it was only in the meeting of Catherine Coleman that he saw Catherine Coleman speaking to the Holy Spirit as a person. And she was saying, "My friend, you know I am nothing without you. I cannot do anything without you. Don't." And when the people were not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, she will cry out and say, "Please do not grieve my friend." The Holy Spirit wants to be our friend. As he hovers, just as he hovered over the darkness, over the chaos, over the earth, he was waiting for the invitation of the word, "Let there be light." And even today, he hovers over every situation. He is help that is available. When the Bible says our ever-present help in times of need, he is ever-present for the believer. Not only does he dwell, but he also wants to make himself manifest to us. See, when Jesus says that, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Another counselor, another comforter, you know, another encourager, another that one walks alongside with us. I think, let me just look at how, I think it's Amplified that gives us the seven aspects of that. The helper is another helper, another comforter, another advocate, another intercessor, another counselor, another strengthener, another standby. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. When we need help, he's available. Number two, he's our comforter. There are times we need comfort. We need comfort from God. And in those moments, in fact, I don't know whether you've experienced it, there are moments when you can cry and you sense his presence right next to you. Your heart, but he's there. Why? Because he comes with the comfort dimension. He's the comforter. Tells you, "Don't cry. Weep not, my child. I know what you're going through." He's also the advocate, the one that stands to defend. He defends us. He is our intercessor. Oh, you know, when you do not know what to pray, the Bible says the Spirit himself prays for us with wordless groans, with groans that words cannot express. That means there's a point where the Holy Spirit prays through you. You have prayed. You've gotten to the point where you're trying to move the hand of God. You're trying to express yourself and you lack the words. Then your intercessor, one who helps you in prayer, who strengthens you in prayer, but he is the one that directs our prayers to be accurate. We do not know what we ought to pray for as we should. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with wordless groans that words cannot express. He directs our steps. He directs our prayer. He is our intercessor. At times you could be having an inner disturbance in your spirit. And that is just the communication of the Holy Spirit that he's telling you to pray. And in that very moment, you might not even know what to pray for. But remember, when we pray in tongues, our minds are unfruitful, but our spirits are communicating mysteries to God. The Holy Spirit is there to give us that language, to give us that ability to communicate to our Father in a mystery, in a language that demons do not comprehend, in a language that the principalities of this world, they do not comprehend, but the language is a direct communication to the Father. The Holy Spirit is our intercessor. He is the one that speaks for us. He advocates for us. The Bible says, calls him also our counselor. A counselor is one that gives you direction, counsel. He counsels you in the right way to go. When the scripture says that you shall hear a voice behind you telling you this is the way, walk in it. I tell you, the reason why a believer fails to progress is because they have not heeded the counsel of the Holy Spirit. But if you heed his voice, if you listen, and you do not harden your heart, he will actually speak. The Holy Spirit is the one that sent Paul, Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them, separate for me. The reason we are stuck at times is because we have not heard him. Confusion is an evidence that we have not heard from the helper. We have not heard from the counselor. We have not been given direction. But the question at times is, if the Holy Spirit speaks and directs us, are we ready to obey? Jesus was the same one that said, do not give your pearls to pigs, otherwise they will turn back on you and trample on you. Likewise, the Holy Spirit seldom gives directions unless he knows within our hearts that we are ready to submit to his will. We are ready to be guided, that our hearts are in the right place, ready for help. And when we are ready for help, then he is able, he is willing. He's a gentle spirit. He's our strengthener. You're discouraged. You lack strength. The moment you begin to pray, you're given wings. You're given strength. You're given the power. You're given the capacity. Remember, he is power. He has power locked up in him. Dunamis. Jesus tells his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my disciples, witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus with power. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So you can see that expression of God was with him. The Holy Spirit was God. God was with him. Think about David. David knows, take not your spirit from me. Think about Joseph. The Bible tells us, and Joseph prospered. Why? Because God was with him. You'll always find that constant theme. God was with him, or the hand of God was with him. Think about Elijah. The hand of the Lord comes upon him, and he runs faster than chariots. That hand of God coming upon him is the manifested presence of God. The Bible says, verse 17, John 14, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. It means he lives with you and he will be in you. And he says, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I wanted us to read up to verse 21. The Bible says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, and at that day you know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, and he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That is the word. That is where we see the manifested presence of God. God says, he that loves me, he that keeps my commandments, this person will be loved by the Father, and I will love him, and I will come and manifest myself to him. That word there, we've said, is God will come and exhibit himself. He will come and display himself. So the Holy Spirit comes to display God. And yes, he dwells in us. Yes, he is with us. But that is why we see there are people who he exhibits himself in a deeper dimension than to others. And so the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit, that means the display of the Spirit, is given for the good of all, for the profit of all. But why are there people with significant manifestations of the Holy Spirit? You know, when Paul says that when I came with you, it was not just with words, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and with power. The secret lies in obedience. The secret lies in love. You know, obedience can be out of duty and out of fear, but obedience that is driven by love. If your child obeys you because of love, then that is a child that you can do anything for. You will manifest yourself to that child. Obedience must not be duty, but it must be love. They that love me, I will love. They that obey me, I will come and manifest myself to them. What we need is the manifested presence of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit. When your life is exhibit, when your life is a display of the manifold grace of God, of the manifold wisdom of God, of the display of wonders in your life, that word, the world will come and see. The world will come and see. They will see a man that is loved by God, a man that is kept by God, a man that is favored by God, a man that can overcome all the troubles of this world. Yes, you may face scars. Yes, you may be wounded here and there, but those scars are not wounds that are covered up, but they are evidences of victories. That's why Jesus ensured that his, where he was wounded, still remained as a scar, such that Thomas can have evidence. He can put his hand and touch those scars. They're scars that will never be removed, because God wants you to always have that mark, that pointer that here I overcame by the Holy Spirit. I overcame by the blood. Here it was the mercy of God that took me through this. Scars are important. Even Paul himself says that I bear, from now onwards, let no one disturb me, because I bear the marks of Christ. That means I have suffered for Christ. I have been beaten. The lashes are on my back. The scars are on my back. Let no one trouble me. Let us learn that there is one that binds us up. Just like the good Samaritan found the man beaten up, and he tied him up, put him on his donkey, took him to the inn, paid for someone to bind up his wounds, to care for him, to heal him. And he paid extra, and he promised the innkeeper that on my way back, I will settle anything else that you may have done for him. The Holy Spirit is available to walk alongside with us, to dwell in us, to be with us, but more importantly, to manifest himself, to manifest Jesus to us. May Christ be displayed in our lives. I'll stop here. Pray that God gives us more insight into this. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Doctor. No, this is no additional
information. No, thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have loved us, and that you show us the way, that you are given to be with us. And yet we have failed to recognize your presence. Forgive us. Forgive our failures. Forgive our pride. And I pray that help us, help our hearts to know you even better. Help our ears to hear you better. Help our hearts to sense you better. To hear your voice, to know your embrace, to receive the comfort, to receive the counsel, to receive the commandments, that by them, when we obey them, when we are led by them, we are the sons of God. We are strengthened by you. Strengthen us today. Intercede on our behalf. Help us in intercession, O God. Give us the comfort that we can never get from men, the comfort that only comes from you. May your presence, may your encouragement, may your strength be upon us. Cover us, watch over us. Let healings take place, O God. Let restorations take place, O God. Let your power be made manifest. Let everything that has delayed be broken. Every chain that is holding back your people, that is holding back the church, that is holding back the families, oh God, every chain be broken in the name of Jesus. I thank you that we are walking in the newness of life. We are walking in the abundance of the gospel. We are walking in the abundance that comes from you, oh God. Thank you. Thank you for the manifested presence that you bring, oh God. May we feel you, may we know you, may we hear you, may we see you, oh God. Indeed, he that is in you receives that life, and that rivers of living water shall flow out from our bellies. May your name be praised, may your name be worshipped. Thank you for our family members. Be with them, strengthen and watch over them, bless the work of our hands. Go ahead of us, direct our steps, direct our thoughts. Give us wisdom, give us clarity of thought. In all that we do, we give you glory, honor, and adoration. May your name be exalted and be magnified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.